Blog That's what it is on radio. My phone.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up, everybody, and burn down, burn down. The system fails, the exit pools. Wake up, the silence returns.
Welcome to another episode of the Star Chamber Show. This week it's Alex and myself, Sayla Janelle, and we are coming to you with our first ever artist guest. So this is really exciting tonight. Hope everyone had a great past couple of weeks, a couple of announcements before we really get into stuff. Seems like just last month we did a convention, but we have an announcement for next year, because why not? Imaginarium, if you were into writing, if you were into film writing, nonfiction, fiction, genre stuff, the business side of it. This is a regional convention that is extensive and covers every aspect of creative writing. Next year, 2016, October 7th through 9th in Louisville, we are going to be back. So mark your calendar now. EntertheImaginarium.com is the website for all your information. We had a blast this year. We had a blast last year. It's always a good time, so make sure you check it out. Also, Seven Star Press has a lot going on right now. We've got a lot of blog tours going on, a lot of books we're promoting. But if you like to read, and if you like to read stuff for free, we have a great program called the Read to Review Program. And basically, if you want to read a book, you fill out this form that I'm looking at here online. You say what genres or authors or a title you're into in the 7-star catalog. You get that book sent to you, ebook format, I'm guessing whichever format you need. You read it, you put in a review, and then we send you another book. So it's a really great way to get to know our authors and our catalog. It's a great way to help us promote the press and honest reviews. You know, we're not selling anything. This is straight up, you tell us what you think and we're cool with it. So I'm going to be putting the link for this on the Star Chamber Show Facebook page, so that way everyone can go ahead and get in on this. So there you go. That's all I have. How about you, Alex Brown? How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I cannot complain. I'm sitting out on my back porch with, a Sam Adams tonight. Yeah. So, woohoo!
Very good. I've got my lounging in my room. Yep, I've got my Loki pajama pants on. I've got my uniform on, and I'm not watching Netflix.
Just because I'm out on the porch doesn't mean I'm not in my PJs. You know, we're still doing the sleeping with an author sort of deal.
Yes.
I've just stepped outside for a beer for a minute. Tonight's going good, and the Read for Review is going phenomenal for a 7-star press. The responses that it has received on Instagram and Twitter alone has really showed that there are people out there who are simply just wanting something to read, wanting something new to read. And, you know, these are people that might not have known about it to start with, such as the press itself, but they definitely know about it now. So definitely do the Read for Review. As Sayla said, there's no catch to it. All you have to do is read a book and write a review, and then you'll have another free book in your hands. So for e-bookers, this is ideal. But I just wanted to bring a few things to the surface tonight. First off, I would like for us to really focus some positive vibes towards these individuals. Actually, Sayla and I both would. We mm-hmm. would like for people to send positive vibes to those who suffered from the Oregon shooting. We would also like to think about those who are suffering from the flooding over in South Carolina and along the East Coast. And also, one of our dear friends, Shorty, also known as Stuart Bergman, he passed away last night from cancer. And so we would like to dedicate this show specifically to Shorty. So as he's listening,
I've seen a lot of amazing. Yeah, I've seen a lot of amazing stories come across my Facebook feed about Shorty all day today, and it's just been amazing the outpouring that's been coming out for that. So
yeah, he was known for his blue stuff, and which that's a alcoholic drink that's like drinking fire for those who don't know it. The warning was if you ever go to a con and he's there and offers you a drink with the word stuff in it, don't drink it, but you'll end up doing it anyway because you're curious. But I kind of have a thought that, you know, he's in heaven looking down and God is shaking his head as he's passing out blue stuff to all the saints. So that would be it. But we do have quite a bit in store tonight. Courtney Weiss is with us. She is our artist, our very first artist, and so I am very pleased to introduce her. Courtney and I met probably about a good 5-6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. And
been more like 8.
Yeah, maybe 8. Yeah, and that was Courtney, by the way. And anyway, we just connected as artists and as friends, and throughout the years we stayed in touch. And she is finally coming about establishing herself not only as an artist but as a tattoo artist. And she is also the inside illustrator for the book Southern Haunts 3, which will be available soon.
Nice.
And so without further ado, I would like to introduce to the world the most wonderful Courtney Weiss. Hello,
hey,
Courtney.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey. It's great to have you on.
We'll
just dive right into it. Oh, well, awesome. Now, I know you were at Imaginarium because we were neighbors, so... That was a lot of fun. How was your experience at the convention?
Well, it was my first time there, so I was really getting to know a lot of the artists and illustrators that were there. But overall, I made a lot of connections, you know, found a whole bunch of books that I like to read, and it was a really good experience.
That's awesome. I was going to say, I saw a lot of people talking to you, and I was, like, sneaking, like, looks at your book when you were gone all the time. So I loved looking at your work. So I'd say it was probably an awesome time.
Now, Courtney, what inspired you to be an artist?
You know, that's a really hard question. To me, artists aren't really... inspired to be an artist. It kind of are or you're not, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I started at a very young age, and, you know, I really just, that's all I've ever known is art. So I really couldn't say what, you know, got me into this line of business. Just because it was done from such a young age. I mean, I started drawing, like really drawing, whenever I was 10 years old, and, you know, I'm 27 now, so thinking back 17 years is kind of like, you know, kind of hard to remember.
So much like being an author, because with myself, I don't know about Sayla, but with me, I was, you know, writing stories at age 5 and trying to sell them for like quarter each. So when you're an artist, you're an artist. You just know it. It's embedded in your body and you have to express it. So Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You were, as in the words of Lady Gaga, you were born this way.
pretty much.
Well, that's definitely, I definitely relate to that. But, you know, there, it's interesting talking to different artistic types because everyone seems to have a different, not only where they channel it, but like a different way they've gone about developing their talent. So, you know, some people just sort of go with the flow and others, you know, go through education or whatever. So how did you progress and how did you study or how did you become the artist that you are today? Did you study somewhere or did you just sort of keep practicing and network, or what was your process?
Well, my parents enrolled me in a small art school in Winston, Mississippi whenever I was 11. And I was in art school for about 4 years. And honestly, that's where, you know, my art career actually took track. From there, I would just do it on the side here and there throughout school and, you know, progress my talent. And then whenever I graduated from high school, I went into college to be, you know, graphic designer, and in there as well, they gave me quite a few art lessons, and that also helped me progress. And then when I got out of college, I went to Louisiana for a few years, came back to Mississippi, and got my first apprenticeship to be a tattoo artist, and that's where my tattoo line actually started coming in. So, I mean, overall, over throughout the years, you know, I've always tried to find different ways to help progress my art talent, you know, anywhere between sculpting, painting, drawing, tattooing, you know, anything I could get my hands on to make myself better, you know, I try it. That's pretty much it.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, throughout the years that I've known you, I've seen your work evolve. It's changed and has kept the same vibe and same tone, really, but your work has really branched out into different fields and it's branched out into different visions. And even though it is very distinct where you can just walk into a room and without even looking at the name on the painting, you can say, oh, that's a Courtney Weiss piece. How does your artwork evolve with your emotions and your age? What can you tell us about that?
Well, as far as my emotions go, the happier I am, the brighter the image will be, and the more colors I use, the more whites I use, and the more brighter and happier it's going to be. Now, if I get sad and depressed, it's usually really, really dark and kind of depressing. sometimes I draw things out of horror movies, you know, just to, I guess, cope with that, you know, downness that I'm feeling. So anything that I do, it does range by emotion, depending on how down I am, like, say, if I'm, you know, utterly depressed, it's depending on the size of the piece as well. So, say, if I'm extremely down, it'll be probably about a 30 to a 40-inch painting. You know, same thing whenever I'm happy, depending on how happy I am as well. That's pretty much how I, you know, intertwine my emotions in my painting. And that as well as what I've been looking at as well, if I've been watching something weird on TV, stuff like that as well.
It's really cool.
So the canvas is literally your mirror to reflect what's inside you.
Exactly.
I think we can identify with that. I mean, I think, you know, no matter what your medium, I think that's a very true statement when it comes to creating stuff. It's tattoo art always has fascinated me. I don't know much about it. I haven't bitten the bullet yet because I can never decide where I want anything. But, you know, the process always intrigues me. So when did you decide to become a tattoo artist and how long have you been doing it?
I decided to be a tattoo artist back in 2010. Repeat the question. I'm sorry, I got blank.
Sorry. You know, how did you decide to, what made you want to do that, and how did you start doing it?
Okay. Whenever I moved back to Mississippi from Louisiana, I went to this first tattoo shop and got my apprenticeship. But what made me decide to do it was that the line of work that I'd chosen in a college field, I couldn't find a job. Pretty much anybody who's in graphic design, like, either they retired or they passed away. It's the only way you were going to get a job in graphic design. Because the benefits and everything were completely great.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you went into that line of business, and nobody wanted to leave.
Yeah. Right.
So I decided, since I was in college, whenever I was in college, I would sell tattoo signs on the side to help me, you know, with gas money, getting back and forth from school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought back at that moment, and that actually is what inspired me to get into tattooing, is because, you know, I was actually able to sell designs. Why can't I do them? So I got into it, and honestly, I couldn't wish for anything better as a career. You get to meet new people. I mean, you get different experiences. You get to be something different all the time. You know, so it's not like you're going to work. You know, it's a career. It's your life. It's a lifestyle more so than it is a career. It's awesome. I love it.
Now, when it comes down to tattooing and illustrating, when tattooing comes to be as far as the steps and why you did it, when you have a client who says, I would like this tattoo, and even for books for that matter, when you have a publisher who says, I would like this illustration, coming at it from both sides, I would like answers for both sides of this. May it be for the publisher and the client that's about to get a tattoo. When you are hired to create an image for a publisher or a person who wants a tattoo, what are the steps that you take for making that vision come to life?
Well, as far as the tattoo goes, I first look at, you know, what the meaning of the tattoo is, whether it be for, you know, a past loved one or if it's just a personal preference. You know, I look at that first, and then I also ask them, you know, if they want it in color, if they want it black and gray, and it's the same aspect as far as, you know, an illustrator goes as well. I also ask that question. And they give me a brief description as to what they want, you know, and off of that brief description, you know, I draw exactly what they want, but I also put the twist of myself into the illustration and or tattoo. And that's what really gives me the creativity to do so is I basically run off the word, if that makes any sense. I'm trying to put this into words. It's kind of hard to really put that question into words just because it's kind of a feeling and a connection you get in between the client and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm trying to say is you use as much imagination as possible and you try to put that person's feelings onto paper. Just as well as, you know, you put your feelings onto a piece of paper.
And I imagine that when it comes down to tattooing, since it is your work going onto a person, in some way does it kind of make you feel bonded to that person in a sense, such as that person is marked by me, that person is carrying my work?
It does. It's kind of like, you know, every time somebody walks out of a tattoo shop or buys me artwork, they're buying a piece of it's basically a piece of your heart that you're selling to somebody, you know, because it gives them that much joy and it gives you that much joy that that person really, really likes the piece that you did. If that makes any sense.
Actually, that's very beautifully put. Very beautifully put.
I love it. Now, one of the things, because I know in my other life, I do design work for costumes and theaters and things like that, So I have run across this occasionally, depending on what types of clients I take on. So I'll be interested to hear your opinion on this. Have you ever been commissioned to create something that you just didn't feel passionate about? And if so, how do you go about taking that, or what do you do with that then?
I have, but usually what I do, if I'm not passionate about it, I find something within it that I am passionate about, and I try and steer that person towards it. That way it makes me feel like I'm actually doing a good job. Say if somebody comes in for, the one thing I absolutely hate when it comes to tattoos, and I'm sure every tattoo artist would honestly agree with me on this, is crosses. And the reason being is because so many people get them, and we do them all the time, so it's kind of repetitious.
Yeah.
And we try to find some joy in that in particular piece, whether it's, you know, a past loved one, or, you know, if it really means something to that person, that's what gives you the inspiration to do it. Now, if it's just to get across and it doesn't mean anything to you at all, you know, even if you are religious and that's the only symbol of that it is for, we try to get somebody to actually personalize it a little bit. Like, they have to throw themselves into the tattoo a little bit, other than just getting something just to get something. Mm. You know, and to me, honestly, whenever it comes to pieces, when you're not inspired to do it, as long as you can grasp onto a little bit whenever you're doing that piece, then I think that's what makes it worthwhile.
Definitely. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that 100%.
I would, too. And you actually have one up on me, because when I've been commissioned a few times to write, I'd say maybe once I wrote something that I really didn't feel very passionate about it to start with, and then I found my own voice for it. But you, on the other hand, you are able to continue digging until you find something that makes it more personal, and there's still that bond there. It doesn't become such as, okay, you want a cross, here's your cross. You want a cross, here's your cross. It doesn't sound like it becomes like, you know, just factory work. You know, it still stays, let's discuss, how can we make this unique? How can we make this original? And you still put your heart into it, and that's really cool.
Exactly.
Now, with your art, and feel free to elaborate as much as you would like with this, because you said that you've done photography, you've done tattooing, illustration, sketching, painting, so on and so forth. So if you want to cover one of each, feel free to do that. How would you describe your art, and how does it represent you? And that's a very broad question, so feel free to take it with whichever subject you would like.
Describe it as in what way?
All right. Let's see. I would say how your art represents you, as in, you say you put your own little twist on it, your own little style. And as I earlier said, you can walk into a vape shop or a cafe and see, oh, yeah, that's a Courtney Vice piece. And there's definitely representation of you and your style. And what is it that you feel that your art represents of you? I guess that's what I'm asking, is when you create a piece, what piece of you does that represent?
I would honestly say what makes every piece of art that I do look like me, basically, more animated. So it shows my animation side of me. It really just depends on, like, what kind of art that I'm doing, whether or not it will be animated. But majority of the time, I like to show my animated side more so than I do anything, just because it's very uncommon here in Mississippi. It's a really hard question.
Well, it's also very whimsical. A lot of your work, even the dark stuff, it's very whimsical.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I've never been really one to describe myself and or put a description on my artwork. It's been very hard to describe myself because the only way that I've ever been able to is through my artwork.
Now, I have a surprise question, and you answering this kind of brought this one up. You recently did a self-portrait, and you had goggles on, and it was very brightly colored. And what were you wanting to reflect when you did your self-portrait? Were you wanting to show that whimsical side of you? Were you wanting to show that con geek side of you? Like, what were you wanting to portray when people saw that the first time?
Well, what inspired me to do the my self-portrait, I did one back in college, which now would be considered, see, how long ago was that? It was about 6 years ago, actually, whenever I graduated. But whenever I was in college, I did a self-portrait, and I realized that it was extremely dark. And now that I've come into a more lighter side of life where my art's taking off and everything like that, it's actually made me a lot happier and a lot brighter person. And I carry myself as so. So I wanted people to see that bright side and the way that I carry myself now. Back then I was extremely, I guess you could say, depressed and emo. and now I'm way more positive, and I look at everything in the more brighter side of life than I do the more dark side of life. And I guess my boyfriend would honestly have to be part of that because I've been in really bad relationships in the past. And since I'm in a more positive atmosphere, I wanted people to see that I was extremely happy.
Cool. You are deep.
I know.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of like, whoa, dude. Now, I always find it interesting to talk to other artists because, you know, no matter how much we've done, there's always stuff that hasn't been done yet. So what would you like to do, like to draw, paint, whatever, that you haven't done yet? What is there still that you need to check off your list?
I would honestly say, I've always had a picture of a woman with horns and antlers sticking out of her head. It's a really weird image that I've had in my head for years. I just haven't figured out a medium that I want to put it into. But yeah, it's basically a woman who's kind of got like a deer snout type thing. And antlers. It's a really weird image. I really can't describe it too well. But I think it would be honestly kind of steampunk, original, and really freaking weird to show my twisted side of mind.
I love it. No, that's awesome. I want to see this now.
Yeah,
right?
The funny thing is, as she's describing this, I have a a friend of a guy that has antlers, and so if she does a girl that has antlers, I mean, of course I'm going to have to put it next to my guy, just saying.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Now, you know, when it comes down to other authors, I'm so used to talking about books, I almost called you an author and say, what do you have for other authors? what advice do you have for other artists? Let's say you have someone and they're really struggling at the beginning of their artistic career. What advice would you give them?
I would say the only advice I would be able to give to another artist would be, I know it's really tough right now, and you might not have as much experience as you'd like, but whenever you look at your art, think about what other people think about your art. And, you know, you're going to be your worst critic. You really are. You're going to hate everything that you do. But as long as it brings somebody else joy, I think you did your job very well.
Okay.
I think that would be the best advice that I could give to somebody.
Very cool. Okay. So for those who are wanting to learn more about you, because there's obviously a lot to you and to your artwork and everything, how can they contact you? Where can they find you? That sort of stuff.
People can find me on Facebook. Just type in Courtney Vice and it'll appear. Usually I'm the only one that comes to the top. Other than Facebook, I have an email address as well. It's vice.courtney@gmail.com. And those are really the only two that I can think of.
Okay. Now, you also have an Instagram that gets a lot of postings from your tattoo work. And so how can people find you on Instagram?
Type in Mousicles. Sickles spelled like, you know, you're sick, and it's sickle.
So that's M-O-U-S-E-S-I-C-K-L-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Now, I have a question that we did not review in advance, so I'm going to kind of put you on the hot spot here.
Of course
here.
With you, Alex.
And, you know, actually, before I ask this question, I'm really thinking that, you know, Sayla, when we did our night where it was sleeping with the author and we just became naked in front of the audience, we really ought to do that again and invite Courtney to become a part of it, because she's
Part
of a few things. So that would be like really digging deep there and really getting personal. So, but I know one thing, and let's kind of turn the subject on taboo for a minute. It seems that nudity within art has always been a taboo to a demographic of people. It seems like I used to work in a bookstore, and we even had people come in saying that the work of Michelangelo that we had in our coffee table books was pornographic. What are your views on pornography versus nudity in art? And what is the difference between the two?
Well, the difference in between the two would be that, you know, a painting, it is art. You're studying the body. It's not anything personal or anything pornographic. You know, I honestly take high offense to people thinking that it is pornographic, because it's really not. Somebody took a brush and actually put pieces together. You know, pornography to me is anything that is on film, on, you know, camera, that kind of thing. Stuff that people click a button and you can actually see the real naked body. You know, whenever you're painting a naked body, it's more like you're cartooning, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
What about like nude photography?
Nude photography, if it's classy, I would say if you're not seeing any nipple or, I guess, vagina, then honestly, I think it's tasteful art. It's not pornography to me. You know, you're still studying the pieces of a body. It's not anything to be flashy or anything like that. It's more so to be portrayed as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean, that's
like,
how I see it.
I think it has a lot to do, I think, with intent. Like, if it's, like you said, if it's an appreciation thing, or if you're trying to show a message, it's one thing, you know, if there's an artistic meaning behind it. But if it's just, it's like, it's kind of, you know, the difference between, like, a story that has, like, there's a character arc and there's a reason people are getting together versus some of the, like, 99-cent niche porn titles on Amazon or whatever. They're just there for one purpose only.
Well, and also, like, back in Michelangelo's day, I mean, you have to think about it this way. You know, being naked was nothing to be ashamed about.
Right.
Like, at all. You know, nowadays you have a lot more modest people because they're not used to being in that kind of environment. And with it being in that type of environment back in Michelangelo's day, it was nothing to be portrayed as nudity or anything like that. It was portrayed to be as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And people
just
take it in the wrong light.
Yeah, agreed. Back in like the, I guess it would have been like, I don't know, 89, 90, there was this huge thing, well, not huge, huge at the time, I guess, but David Bowie had like formed this group called Tin Machine. I think it was their second album, I'm pretty sure, or a single or something. They had like, instead of them on the cover, they had like three Greek statues, and like people like freaked out and made them Photoshop the crotch of the statues off. And I mean, it wasn't even anything risque. I mean, it was art. They were statues, I mean, Grecian statues, legit Grecian statues. And it was just really amazing that such a huge fuss was put up. And I think like they had the real version of the cover like on Arsenio Hall, but they had to like pixelate or like cover whatever. And it was just really amazing that people had so much of a problem with it.
Yeah.
What really fascinates me, and when it comes down to nude photography and pornographic photography, the difference between the two is I really admire nude photography in a sense where it takes something and makes it beautiful when that's not the norm. There is a photographer out there, I can't remember his name, but he's all over Facebook. You know, I'm going to remember his name, like, when I get ready to go to sleep, and it'll be, like, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning. But for people who are on his page, you already know who he is. But this guy does a lot of nude photography in regards to people who have been amputated, like they've had amputated arms or legs. And he did one that was very beautiful. And pretty much it was of a woman who had breast cancer, and she was nude, and her breast had been removed. But on her face, the look that she had had was just of confidence and strength, and it was just so beautiful.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, even Nikki Sixx, his, this is going to hurt, but he did a huge, like, series for that book of, not necessarily, they weren't all nudes, but he did a lot of, there were some amputees, and there were some people of various weights and various, you know, disfigurements and things, and it was, they're gorgeous photos, like, they're some of the best stuff I've ever seen. And the same thing, there were a few that were people of various circumstances and shapes and sizes and issues. And some were nude, and I mean, they were amazing. It was, I don't know how you could look at that and not see anything besides these beautiful, amazing people, because just the expressions and the emotion that he got from those photographs was intense.
And I hate to be graphic here, but they're, in a nutshell, I think the difference between nude photography and pornographic photography, or nude art and nude and pornographic art, is if you can look at the image and see it for the artistic piece it is, see it for what the artist is trying to portray within its subject, then it is a thought-provoking piece and it is a piece of beauty. However, if it is a piece where it feels like you need to, you know, go grab some lubricant and shut the door for a little bit, then, you know, that's something else right there.
You want to see it as a as something more, or at least as a person, as, you know, the subject, and not just something to get you off or whatever. Yeah, I totally agree.
Exactly. And I'm not going to name names with this artist, but there is an artist who does nude photography of guys, and some of the pieces are very beautiful. They're thought-provoking. I'm like, oh, my God, look at the value and the continuity and just the theme he has going on. This is awesome. And then I turn the page, I'm like, yeah, that he just wanted porn there. That's not art, that's pornography.
Okay.
All right. So back to, now that we're off of the porn subject, let's get back to you, Courtney. Let's say that I promise it's not the beer talking. We'll just continue forward. So anyway, Courtney, hey, let's say that a person is looking for a tattoo in your area. How would they contact you?
Pretty much the two things I gave you.
Okay. And let's
and the tattoo shop.
Okay. And would you be comfortable sharing the tattoo shop information? If
no.
not, it's cool. Okay, cool. All right, no problem. Now, this is where we get to the part of the conversation where we just get to have tons of fun. What are you doing for Halloween this year?
For Halloween, we are going to a wedding.
Okay.
Are you talking about dressing up?
Yeah, well, if you're going to dress up, do you have any plans for doing that?
I do. I'm going as a woodland creature. There's no real name for it other than kind of like a fairy.
Now,
that's awesome.
I've seen on your Facebook that you're working on some horns. What are those go to?
The same costume I'm telling you about.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if that was something you were working on for Matt or...
Mm-mm.
All right.
No, they
well,
have
you'll
flowers
definitely
on
have
them.
To
Why
do
was that where...
No, I didn't see the updated one with the flowers on it. I saw the ones where they were painted black. That was the last ones I had seen. But, okay, so if there's flowers on those, yeah, Matt might not want to wear those.
Oh,
no.
Those are cool. Okay. Those are lovely. Sorry, I'm looking these up now. That's awesome. What did you use for the horns? What were you sculpting out of?
Do what?
Did you sculpt the horns or did you buy the forms?
Oh, I made them. I made them out of cardboard and hot glue.
Nice. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's awesome. So
yeah,
I'm so nosy about that stuff. That's awesome. I'm going to have to play with that.
Yeah, I posted a couple of links for tutorials for them on my Facebook.
Awesome. So this is like my inner geek side now. Like the professional geek side of me is like, I'll put your hat back on. Okay.
So,
take control. I'm gone. I'm off.
So, like, is that the only part of your costume that you're going to make, or are there other parts that you're going to make going into it, or what
yeah,
else?
Yeah, there's other parts
in
that
it?
I'm going to make. I've got to make a pair of cuffs as well that lace up, and I've got my corset ordered, and I've also got a couple of skirts I'm going to layer as well to make kind of a medieval skirt.
Okay.
It's actually going to look pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd like to do a photo shoot of you after you get all that in, so let's make a date for that.
Okay.
Nice. Now, is Halloween one of your favorite holidays? How do you normally celebrate Halloween?
I usually go out and get belligerently drunk. Unlike any other adult in this world.
What about you, Sayla?
What? I'm sorry, what now?
What about you, Sayla? How do you celebrate
oh,
Halloween?
Gosh. Well, okay, so for the past, like, I don't know, decade of my life, I'm new to actually, like, celebrating Halloween as an adult besides, like, college. Because, like, college I was always doing theater shows, usually. And then once, like, in my mid-20s to, I guess, like, 2 years ago, I had been working for these big, giant haunted house events. So I was always working, usually. Or I was so burnt out from working, I slept. But so I'm still trying to get the hang of, like, what it means to celebrate Halloween as an adult. But I'll admit, I like doing, and people will probably look at me, people who know me will probably, like, be like, what the hell? Because I'm always the one who's like, yeah, dark stuff, gore, wah. But I really like sitting out on the porch, like, talking to the neighbors and giving candy to kids. I really embrace the QC stuff. Like, I'm really excited to, like, go, like, paint a teal pumpkin and, like, get stickers and give to kids. But I am making – my costume this year is really goofy. We have a competition at where I work now. And I definitely am really excited about it. And if I have my way, I'm going to, like, be planting myself all over town and hoping I don't get, like, pulled over or something, because it's awesome. And I just want to troll a bunch of businesses in it. But we'll see.
Yes.
So I do more of, like, the curl up with a family couch handout candy thing. I'm sure at some point I'll go back to the adult party thing, but for the moment I like just appreciating that I don't have to work 20 hours a day on Halloween or something.
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, my daytime job gave me Halloween weekend off. I didn't even have to ask for it. They're like, okay,
yep,
you are who you are. We know you want this weekend off. I'm like, thank you. I was bored anyway. So.
Word. Yeah.
But, no, I guess I'm a little old-fashioned with Halloween. Pretty much my customs are, once it becomes nighttime, I light a jack-o'-lantern and I have a candle that's
yep.
big enough that goes in it that stays lit until morning the next day. And Yankee candle, that got a little too expensive, even though it really made the yard smell great. So now I'm, like, running to Walmart, getting, like, their candle jars for, like, about $5. So, I keep the candle lit all night, and also about midnight is when I do a seance. So only very few people come to that seance because it's a very personal thing, and it's not something that is joked about or anything of the sort. So when someone attends one of those, it's always someone who I feel will respect the subject and what's going to happen.
That's cool. Yeah. We used to do, like, the I don't know if it's a Midwest thing or what, but, like, the sit out with the neighbors, like, in the cul-de-sac or on the porches, and, like, have the kids would come up. And it was kind of like a cross between, like, a fall party and a neighborhood block party, and you would get food and stuff. Like, we used to do that, but the past couple of years, it's kind of dissolved in our neighborhood. But I don't know. I that's awesome, though. Like, I really like putting a meaning back into Halloween. That's cool.
Now, I have a question for Courtney and Sayla. And, of course, since Courtney is our guest, you go first. And if a person asked you, what is one horror movie I have got to watch this Halloween, and you can only say one, which one would it be and why?
Oh, God, I dislike you right now. You're making me choose only one Halloween movie? Really?
Just one. Only one.
Ugh. I would say Trick or Treat. That's always my holiday
what?
Favorite.
I love that movie so hard.
I do, too, with a passion. It is funny as heck.
Oh, my God. I love that movie. The werewolf. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. Yes.
And you know they're coming out with part two. It's already been, like, you know, confirmed that part two is coming out.
Yes, I know. I'm excited about it.
Oh, God.
And what about you, Sayla?
I don't see. That's what I was going to say, but I don't know. Like, it isn't Halloween themed per se. Because, like, my tradition for watching stuff on Halloween is still, like, the Halloween tree and, like, the old Disney DTV, like, back when they had music rights to everything. They, like, mix their cartoons with rock music. And it's, like, if you've never seen, if you go on YouTube, there's, like, a clip of, like, Snow White running to Pat Benatar's You Better Run, and it's amazing. Like, that
I
was
remember
what I grew up
that.
With. But, like,
oh, my God.
Yes. Like, it's amazing. It's intense, and I love it. So I watch that every Halloween. But in terms of horror movies, oh, God, you know which one I'm going to go with, Alex. So I've got to go with my favorite. I'm sorry. Since Trick or Treat was taken, I will say Lost Boys because it's fun. It's so 80s. It's not really scary by today's standards, but it's so great. It just looks so fabulous, and it's just, I don't know. I consider it more of an urban fantasy movie now than I do a horror movie, but it's just so much fun. I love that movie to pieces.
I would have to kind of go old school myself and say, you know what? Watch the original Night of the Demons. If you've never seen it, just watch it. The lipstick and the boob, that scene alone is worth your time.
Yeah. I used to really love marathoning, the old, like, black and white stuff. That was always, like my choice, if I could, like, fall asleep on Halloween to, like, the villagers chasing Frankenstein, that was a good year.
Oh, yeah. And let's see. I recently got the DVD collection of the Hammer movies. So it looks like this year there will be some Hammer movies in my near future.
Nice.
Now, we are approaching the 10-minute mark of the show. And so, Courtney, I would like to ask, is there anything that we did not ask you that you would like for the public to know, or did we cover everything for you?
I think you pretty much covered everything.
All right, cool. So how was it being our very first artist?
Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Now, can we expect to see you back at Imaginarium next year? And also, do you have plans for other conventions for the rest of this year?
Yeah, I'll be at Imaginarium next year. And as far as conventions coming up this year, I plan on doing the Jackson Comic Con. That is in December. And then also in November, I plan on doing a Riverview Book Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure, I think you're going to be at that one too, Alex.
Yes, I am. I am, and that actually has a Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so people need to follow that one. It's going to be the first year, so feel free to check it out. It's Riverview Book Expo, and that'll be located in Jackson, Mississippi this November.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, as we're drawing near the end, is there anything else that you would like to cover, Sayla? We didn't ask what we're reading. Ask each other. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just finished. I Have Fallen in Love, and Robin Blankenship recommended this to me. And I know I've told you about Horror Store by Grady Hendrix is amazing. It's basically this group of employees. They work at like this IKEA knockoff store. And basically, they think someone has broken into the store like overnight. So a group of employees like stays before corporate comes in to do a walkthrough to figure out what's going on. And it was built like on this old prison play land, and it's haunted, and it's just beautiful. Like it's hysterical, and there's some genuinely bizarre, creepy, uncomfortable moments. There's one character in particular that has done so well; it's fabulous, and the lead is just unlikable enough that she has room to grow, and the whole book is designed like an IKEA catalog, and it's just phenomenal. It's fabulous.
Nice. Well, I kind of feel like I'm cheating here, but it is an audiobook, so technically it's still a book. I'm listening to Make Something Up by Chuck Konuick, and it is twisted. There has been times where I've been listening to this and just I can feel my face convert to true horror.
Yep.
And I would say overall the book is good. I enjoy it, but there's just as many likable stories in it as it is unlikable stories. And sometimes I'll have to stop after I listen to a story to try to think about the hidden message he was trying to relay there. And because each story has its own kind of moral, or it's a metaphor for something much deeper. But
he wrote Guts, didn't he? Was that him?
Say what?
He wrote Guts, didn't he? Is that who I'm thinking of? One with the pool, the stuff getting stuck in the pool. I can't really talk about it without getting really graphic, but the pool filter.
I haven't read.
Hey, Alex.
Mm-mm. I haven't. Mm-mm. I don't think that is him. I haven't read that one. Yes, Courtney.
Okay.
My phone is about to die.
Well, we have made it through the most part of the interview. So I tell you what, it was really great having you on here, Courtney. And we do hope to have you again.
Oh, I definitely hope to come back again.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great Halloween, and I look forward to seeing you update your Instagram with new tattoos and new art.
Alrighty, honey. I will see you later. I'll probably see you before Halloween.
All right. Sounds awesome.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
You have a good night.
You too.
All right. Bye.
About an interview where we covered just about everything you could possibly want to know about art.
Yeah.
And then also about pornography and Halloween and stuff like that.
And everything else. It's a typical conversation for us, I feel like, you know? Like, this is a pretty good cross-section of what we text about.
Yes. Well, before we get off here tonight, I do have a book signing coming up. It's going to be on Halloween Day at Bay Window Books in Jackson, Mississippi. And it'll be from 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock. And I'll have books there such as Serentia Falls, Traumatized, Southern Haunts Part 1 and 2. I'll even have my steampunk anthology, as well as some of the horror anthologies I'm in, which would include, of course, State of Horror, Louisiana. So I will have that, and come by and see me.
That's awesome. What would you do if I just showed up? Like, if I just...
I would hug the hell out of you and say, ooh, girl, you're going to see a seance tonight.
I won't be able to, but I would love to just pull that off just to see the look on your face.
I would be like, if you've never sat through a legit seance before, you are about to
now. I have not, no. That would be awesome. I would be willing to do that.
Cool. I will hold
you to it.
One day it will happen.
I'm sure it will one day. I'm sure. You can talk me into a lot, so I have absolute faith that you will be able to pull that off. Oh, God.
All right. All right. So as we close for tonight, I just want to say, great show. It was great being able to learn more about the artistic side as far as paints and
molding. I like your idea. We're going to have to have her back first. I think that's a fantastic idea, because that adds a whole other dimension to digging deep.
Yeah, I would really like to try to talk her into doing the sleeping with an author, but we're inviting an artist in. Let's try to think about the title on that one. And also for our listeners, if you can think of a good title where, since she is not an author, but we need a tie thinking into it, like, you know, just throw your suggestions at us.
Yeah.
We're open. Go to Twitter and, you know, just follow the Twitter handle for... Star Chamber Show, and just kind of hashtag sleeping with an author. There we go.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, and have a great night.
Have a great night. Bye.
Bye-bye.